One food deal leads to another.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Hope you're hungry because we begin this morning with some food. Kraft is selling its U.S. frozen pizza business to Nestle. It's a $3.7 billion deal, and as Christopher Worth reports, it gives Kraft extra cash to make a sweeter deal in the food industry.
Kraft is expected to use the proceeds from this sale to increase its offer for the British chocolate maker Cadbury, which currently stands at $17 billion. John Cox is with Kepler Capital Markets. He says this is an indication of just how serious Kraft is.
That $3.7 billion cash from the frozen pizza business, that will enable Kraft to obviously increase its bid if it thinks it needs to. And I think that's enough to probably get most of the long-term shareholders on board for such a deal. And I assume that ultimately Kraft will take over Cadbury.
For Nestle, buying Kraft's U.S. pizza business could be a good move. The U.S. market is worth $37 billion a year. Nestle will get DiGiorno and Tombstone brands. Given the recession, analysts expect frozen pizza sales to stay hot as more and more people opt for a quiet night in rather than going out or calling the delivery guy. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
Well, markets overseas are responding to the deal. Nestle shares are off by 5%, and the Swiss benchmark is off as well by about 0.5%. Other European markets, though, are higher right now, such as London and Paris, up by a fraction of a percent. Asian shares closed mostly higher today. Some positive U.S. manufacturing news to credit there. Asian investors were also following the direction of Wall Street yesterday. The S&P and NASDAQ tacked on more than 1.5%. The Dow was up 155 points to close at 10,583. And that investor confidence is boosting oil prices today. Benchmark crude for delivery next month is up around $82 a barrel in Asia. Oil's been up 15% just in the last few weeks. We're going to see how markets react today to several reports that are due a little later. The National Association of Realtors releases its pending home sales numbers for November. The Commerce Department reports on factory orders as well, and automobile manufacturers release their monthly sales. Another report's already been released today on healthcare spending for 2008. The journal Health Affairs says there was a slowdown, but for reasons you might not think. Here's Marketplace's Gregory Warner.
In 2008, the healthcare industry still grew, but at the slowest rate in 50 years. Joe Antos is with the American Enterprise Institute in Washington.
In most industries, a 4% increase in revenues would be considered a good thing.
But not when it compares to 6% the year before. Healthcare didn't get any cheaper. Prices stayed the same, but people saw their doctors less. State and local governments tightened Medicaid eligibility and stripped benefits from their programs. While everyone else was cutting back, the federal government was spending more on healthcare. J.B. Silvers of Case Western University says that federal stimulus money cushioned the recession's blow.
And it particularly would have hit children's hospitals. It would have hit public hospitals, certainly, that have Medicaid loads.
Healthcare as a percentage of the national economy rose to over 16%. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
A new survey says even workers lucky enough to have a job aren't necessarily happy with it. The Conference Board found only 45% of workers surveyed are satisfied. That's the lowest level ever recorded during more than 20 years of worker satisfaction surveys. The report blames the bad economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
We've seen beefed-up security at airports since the Christmas incident aboard a U.S.-bound plane. But there's one security measure that's been in the books for a while now. Officers can still search and even confiscate your laptop at the airport or when you cross the border. Elisa Roth reports a lot of people and a lot of companies don't know that.
Most of the time, having your bag searched at customs isn't a very big deal. But flipping through files on your laptop or scrolling through contacts on your smartphone? For a lot of people, there's so much personal or corporate information on those devices, that's more like having the government poke through their desk drawers. Since at least 2008, the government's allowed border agents and other officials to search the contents of laptops, smartphones, even MP3 players. In fact, any kind of electronic equipment. Larry Schwartztall is an attorney. He was part of a team at the ACLU that's been fighting the rule.
The potential invasiveness of these searches is on an order of magnitude greater than the traditional border searches of luggage.
Schwartztall says the rule violates the right to privacy. For one thing, the officer can search your device even if he doesn't think you've done anything wrong. And he or she can confiscate your stuff indefinitely and copy everything on it. You'd think that corporate executives be freaking out about potential security leaks. But Richard Crum says most companies don't seem to know the rule exists. He's president of the Association of Corporate Travel Executives. He says the cost to businesses could be substantial.
Depending on the amount of time, the delay of a deal, maybe not having critical business information that you need in order to conduct your business, it could be quite an enormous cost to individuals and to the businesses that they work for.
It could be companies just don't think there's much of a problem. The government says it's only seized around 1,000 laptops so far. Crum says companies generally won't talk about their experiences because they don't want to call attention to themselves or admit to the stigma of having one of their laptops confiscated. But companies stand to lose a lot more than face. Vanessa Shera works in the customs division of the law firm Holland & Knight. She says once the government gets hold of proprietary information, there's no way to know what might happen to it.
It's more a concern about the fact that if a laptop has company sensitive material on it, do we really want U.S. enforcement border officials looking at that and asking questions?
Shera says she tells clients to travel without a computer or one that has nothing on it and then access the data they need once they're at their destination, which is what critics say a terrorist could do, too. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Finally, added holiday pounds is going to cost 5,000 members of BeautifulPeople.com. The website boasts not a single ugly or obese person, and it's thinned its flock after some plump pictures of people started showing up there. Most of the people getting the boot, Americans, Canadians, and Brits, they are, of course, invited to reapply once the pounds come off. Said the founder of the site, letting fatties roam the website is a direct threat to our business model. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online at marketplace.org. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.